Get ready for a fascinating conversation as we explore the reasons behind church mergers, the potential benefits and challenges involved, and the strategies for a successful integration. Next on the Church Solutions Podcast.
It's the Church Solutions Podcast, brought to you by StreamingChurch.tv. The Church Solutions Podcast is all about helping you and your church with technology and other resources for your life and ministry. Now, here are your hosts, Steve Lacy and Phil Thompson.
It's the Church Solutions Podcast. My name is Phil Thompson.
And I'm Steve Lacy.
Steve, how are you today?
I feel like I'm hungover, but I'm doing okay.
Well, that's what that's what you get. Actually, you already told me this, so we'll just let our people in on this. You're hungover not because of alcohol, but because of a cat.
Yes, we do babysitting and we do dog sitting and we do cat sitting, and this cat has a rough time on the first nights. And so my wife and I were both awakened. I thought it was like every 30 minutes. She thought it was like every 20 minutes. So we were up all night just ready to do battle with this cat. It just kept coming. And there's nothing we could do. The first time we tried, we closed our doors and she was making all kinds of terrible noise just outside our door. So tonight, the cat is going to live in the garage.
The garage. So, yes. The dreaded garage.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, let's hope it doesn't take its anger out on your vehicles.
We'll make sure that it won't be getting inside the vehicles.
But
Yes. Well, and it can maybe be as noisy as it wants all night long because I don't think we'll hear it.
Good luck on that. Well, you've got a lot going on. You got cats, you got grandkids. By the way, we're going to introduce our guest here in a moment. He has more grandkids than you do. So we'll get into that in a moment. So let's talk a little bit about business. Thanks for being with us, folks. We got a great guest today, which I will introduce in a moment. But we do have a webinar coming up, and it actually is coming up October 22nd. So if you happen to hear this, this podcast should be out long before then, but hopefully you'll, if not, you can always go to and listen to it later. But the webinar is coming up October 22nd. That's a Tuesday, and it is called, let me put my glasses on so I get make sure I get the title right. What Drives Your Stream? Master Your Church's Streaming Setup. So we are doing this in conjunction with some good friends of ours called Stream Dudes, streamdudes.com. You can look them up later. They really specialize in equipment, streaming equipment, and they are great with working with churches. And so they're going to be hosting this with us. So John and Chris, and they're a lot of fun to be with. It'll be a fun webinar. And that is coming up, as I said, Tuesday, October 22nd. Yeah. It's 12 noon Eastern, and people need to sign up. Webinar.streamingchurch.tv.
Yes, there are good friends are going to be giving away a $1,000 remote PTZ camera.
Yeah, so it's a Bird Dog PTZ camera, and it retails at $999.99. And so so close enough to 1,000. But yeah, that we're giving that away. They're giving it away actually. But so you can win that by just watching the podcast live. And I'm sorry, the webinar live. So just go to webinar.streamingchurch.tv, sign up now, and I think you'll love it. It'll be fun. And, you know, it's about equipment, about streaming equipment, and those guys are the experts. Okay, enough business for now. Our guest is the author of several books, 125 Tips for Multi-Stream Churches, Better Together, Making Church Mergers Work, which is kind of what we're going to probably talk about today. New Rules for Church Buildings in a Multi-Site Church Planning and Giga Church World. He lives in Colorado Springs, Colorado. We weren't too far from there recently. He's got all sorts of wonderful degrees. He's got a master's in theology from Dallas Theological Center. He's got a lovely wife. He's got three grown kids, and he's got 11, count them, 11 grandchildren. He's beat Steve Lacy. And, but you know, Steve's still going. So let's welcome Jim Tomerlin to the Church Solutions Podcast. Jim, how are you?
I'm good. To be with you, Phil and Steve, again.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been a long time. We mentioned before we started recording, I think it was 2011 we had you on last time. And so we're glad to have you back. And let me just say this before we start with some questions here. I want to just offer my condolences. We want to offer our condolences because you worked with Tony Morgan. You were partnering with him in ministry. Tony Morgan was just a wonderful guy. I met him one time, and he passed away suddenly. Was it in September he passed away?
Yes, a month, barely a month ago,
Oh my goodness! Yeah, and
55 years old, heart attack.
yeah, I had a heart attack, and I met. I think I told you this, but I met Tony. I was planning a church in Kansas, and there was a small conference in Kansas City that I went to, and he was there with I can't remember the fellow's name from Granger. They're both from Granger Church
Tim
originally.
Stevens? Tim Stevens,
Yeah,
probably.
Tim, yeah. And I spent a little bit of time, not a lot, a little bit of time with Tony. We had several things in common. One of which was we were both Cleveland Indian fans. I have my Cleveland Indian
Yeah.
deal on. Of course, they're not the Indians anymore, and they're probably going to
The
lose to the
Guardians, and
Yankees.
they're in
Guardians.
the playoffs now,
Yeah.
and Tony, oh, he lived for that team, and for
Yeah.
him to miss see this, maybe he's got a heaven viewpoint, so.
There you go. Maybe so. So anyhow, I know that was a rough deal for you guys.
Yeah.
How's everybody doing? How's Tony's wife doing through this whole thing?
She's amazing. She's a very strong person, and but yeah, this his death became it was a real shock to all of us. It was unexpected. Of course, he was in good health. He was a healthy person. It just took us all by a surprise. I would say Tony has already was working on his succession plan, but he has worked for all these years at creating systems and processes and templates that would be transferable, not personality driven. It's all in his mind and head. And so we've got an incredible team, and the Unstuck group is going to continue on. And we just realized who else is out there helping churches get unstuck. And before the COVID, there was a lot of churches that thought, I don't need that help. But COVID really highlighted, we do need help. We are stuck, and we're not only stuck, we're in decline now. And so there really isn't a whole lot of places to go to get that kind of help. And so
So it's the
there
Unstuck
was a
group,
real
just
strong.
yeah, for people who don't know, Unstuck. It's Unstuck Group. Are they still moving on?
That's what I'm saying. The byline or byword is the Unstuck Group helping churches get unstuck. And so that's what we're all about, what they're all about. And I had a 5-year partnership with them, and kind of transferring all of my brand and info to them. And but I've known Tony for probably about 20 years. We weren't knew each other before we joined each other and all that. And so he has a real loss to the church. But the good news is that what he started will continue on.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. So, all righty. Well, Steve Lacy is with us today, and Steve and I kind of go back and forth asking questions, and I thought maybe we would talk a little bit about church mergers. That's something that you obviously are very much familiar with, Jim. And it seems like you'd mentioned this, especially since COVID, churches have really gone through it. And so let's talk. Maybe I'll just ask the first question, and that is, what's the most common reason that churches are merging today?
I would say there's three reasons that churches are merging. But there's about 320,000 Protestant churches in America, North America, or in America. About 20% of them are struggling churches. That is, they are in preservation mode or life support mode. They're barely hanging on, and that's about 60,000, 65,000 churches nationwide. Those churches would consider a merger as a way of rebirthing and of a restart, a rebirth. Stuck churches, which is about 60% of the churches in America, which is almost 200,000 churches that are stuck, that is, they're in maintenance mode. Since COVID, many of those we're at a point now, you're either growing or you're in decline. There's not a lot of middle ground, but those six stuck churches, for them, this is an opportunity, emerges an opportunity for revitalization, to get unstuck by joining with another strong church. And then there are about 20% of the churches in America are strong. That is, they're healthy, they're growing, and they're expanding. Most growing churches now, 1,000 or attendance or more, are in some stage of multi-siting as well. That's become the new normal. Just like the end of the last century, the new idea was multiple services. That was our radical idea that started about the 70s, 80s. And now that's become a, that's a standard for any healthy growing church. They're going to do two or three services on a Sunday or a weekend. But that's becoming the case now for growing churches about the whole multi-site church model. And so for growing churches that are out of room and out of space or looking to reach more people in their region, we know that 40%, more than 40% of multi-site campuses are coming by way of a merger, the physical locations, the campuses. And so for growing churches, this is a way of reproducing themselves beyond one location. So for all those things, rebirth, revitalization, reproduction are the different motivations, but they all overlap in terms of the outcomes and desired interest in that.
I would think a common assumption would be that it's the smaller churches, the churches that have just, kind of decayed in place, and now they've got their last few members and they're on, life support. But you're saying that the size of the church can vary depending on what life phase they're in or what phase they're in, right? Or is
Oh, absolutely. I have a call later this afternoon with a church in California that's about 1,000 in attendance, and their pastor just stepped aside, and they're a solid church, had a good solid ministry growing there, and but they're interested in having a conversation with another larger church, multi-site church, that's had a strong friendship with them over the years. About merging with them, as instead of going to finding a new pastor, maybe we would be better served by joining with a church that we already have affinity with and a relationship with. So, yeah, they're not desperate, but many are. Many churches are in trouble. They are in decline and are beginning to realize, we're maybe one funeral away from going out of business, or we could join with a vibrant, dynamic church in our community or in our region that we have respect for and trust of. And so those conversations are happening.
okay. So there's,
There's a lot of different reasons.
yeah. Would, I mean, the case you just mentioned, I'm thinking, wow, I've got a church of 1,000, so I've got a pretty good sized facility. And then there's another larger church. How do the churches work out the whole facility side thing? And now that this one that has the pastor leaving, do they take somebody from, if this was to go forward, is it common for them to take one of the associate pastors from the bigger church and put them in the, how's that all work? Just technically, I mean, it seems like it can get really messy when you got facilities and staff and stuff like that, and you're bringing things together. How
Well,
is that
Steve,
all resolved?
you're diving into the details of the
Yeah.
process, but yeah, how does this happen? Well, it's always good to have a consultant that's been walk that can walk churches through these conversations.
If we only knew somebody like
That's right. And
that.
because every church merger is different and unique. But every church merger will wrestle with the same issues. How they address them and resolve them will vary from church to church, obviously. But Steve, what you're asking is, we talk in our book, we talk about that a merger that has good outcomes is like a dance where one leads and the other follows. And so you can't have two leads; you'll step on each other's toes. If you have two follows, then that's not going to end up well. But when churches understand one church leads and the other church follows, one leads, one joins. And then, so the first question is this merger possible with this other church in our community, in our region? Are we close enough in affinity? Definitely we are. We have a common geography. Is there enough basis for us to even have entertain a conversation? That's the first move in this merger dance. The second one is okay, it's possible, but is it really feasible? That is, are we true compatible enough to come together as one church? And then after they work, and in that process, which is the real where most of the work, hard work gets done, we've identified 25 distinct issues that every church merger has to work through and address to decide whether they should join together or not. Now, most of those issues are they're not deal breakers, but there's usually four or five that are serious potential deal breakers, and they're different for both churches. And so, but if we can work through all those, the key ones, and then answer all, address all the other ones, and the two leadership teams or the two pastors or two boards work through those, and they conclude, you know, we're not only, it's not only possible, it's doable. We're compatible enough. We've worked through the issues. And then the last phase to the church, to the church is, all right, is it, but is it desirable? We know we could, it's possible, it's even doable, but do we just really desire this? And that typically means the church congregations will vote on this. Is a after the leadership will present to their churches, we've been meeting, we've been praying, we feel like God is leading us to join together, but now it's our congregation needs to approve this, typically.
I would think that
So.
that's definitely a challenge. Sorry, Steve, I'll jump in here, but at one point I was when I planted the church in Kansas, I was thinking about it years later, merging with a church that I knew really well back here in Tucson, and my leadership team just didn't want to. They didn't want to do it. So I would think that there's always going to be a pushback. From congregation people, as well as even some of the leadership team.
Well,
Listen.
listen.
For the joining church, but the staff probably are the ones that are the most threatened or insecure or concerned about what's going to happen to. If our pastor and the board of our church leads us to join with another church, what's going to happen to me? Do I have a job or not? And that's one of the issues. That's one of the 25 issues. Is there a role? How will we handle the staff? And so, obviously, if you're the joining church, you're joining with a lead church, and you're joining into their mission, their vision, their strategy, their philosophy. And is there a role for me as an associate in the joining church to play there? And so those are conversations that typically that the lead church has with every individual pastor, staff member, not just pastor, but bookkeeper, you know, custodians, et cetera. What's their future? So that's not surprising that they would be pushed back on that.
So I listened to a bunch of different podcasts. Some of them are business related. And this seems to draw a large parallel to me in my mind of selling your company. And there's etiquette around that whole kind of process. It sounds like it's probably compare and contrast for me. So, these guys teach that it's typically the owner of the company. He's like, oh, I'm thinking about selling. And he doesn't tell anybody. And he's got quarters, people coming to him saying, hey, we want to buy your company. And there, the whole process to me seems like what they advocate is kind of do all the work at the highest leadership level and to get to come to a conclusion and then kind of roll it down. And this doesn't sound like that's the best way to do this with a church merger. Is that common? Is it when do you bring in the, for example, the congregation? When are they learning about this and deciding? Is that, when it's, almost a done deal, or is that early, or how does that, tell me more about that whole process.
Steve, typically the conversation begins when there's two pastors who have a relationship or and by the way, the joining church, which is usually the smaller church, the stuck or struggling church, in our surveys, and we've done several surveys in preparation for our first edition as well as our second edition of our book, Better Together. And we asked the question, who initiated the conversation? So the assumption would be that all these big churches that are just, gobbling up or, going after stuck or struggling churches. Well, the majority of church merger conversations are initiated typically by the joining church, the stuck church or joining church. Now, more and more pastors, stronger churches have been asking, how do we initiate that conversation without coming off as abrasive or hostile? Or and so those there are ways to do that. But so first of all, it's the stuck or struggling church that starts this conversation. And it's usually with the pastor to pastor, or maybe the struggling or declining church is without a pastor, and so you've got a chairman of the board or whatever, a lay leader that entertains with his board, his leadership, should we consider maybe joining with this church that's in our community? Maybe it was the church that started us 20 years ago or whatever. And so, but most conversations start with either the two pastors or a pastor and the board of the other church, the board leadership. And my recommendation is to churches, it's better for you all to have these conversations initially, at the leadership level only, and not to work through the issues, et cetera, before you roll this out to the church, because most people will react in a very negative way to the idea of merging. We're going to merge. A merger has a lot of negative baggage with it, the word merger. And so now, if when we work through the 25 issues, it becomes very apparent this isn't right for us, then fine, we haven't stirred up the whole church. But if we work through the 25 issues as a leadership team, the two leaderships, and we conclude, you know what, we think this would be the best for our church, then we recommend to the church that we have been having these conversations, we've been praying, and we believe that God is leading us to join together. And they roll that out with an FAQ, which addresses the key, about a dozen key questions, like, why are we doing this? Who will be our pastor? What will happen to our facility? What will
Is
happen
that
to our staff?
on both
It's
sides?
on both sides.
Or,
Yeah, both
okay.
the leadership were both working on that. Now, again, the joining church is the typical one who's giving up, who's making most of the sacrifices. Because you're joining with a strong church that's already figured out how they're doing their ministry, their philosophy. And the reason why a church would even be thinking about joining them typically is that I've heard this so many times, Steve and Phil, from pastors like, we at one time years ago, we were a strong church, but we've lost our way. We don't know how to do ministry in this day. My friend Ed Stetzer has said in the past, if the 1950s ever comes back to America, our churches will be ready for it, talking about Baptist churches that he's been involved with. And I would say about 80% of the churches in America today are plateau or declining. Why? They're stuck in an old way of thinking and doing church, and they're not able to make that adjustment. The churches that are healthy and growing, they have learned to adapt their methods and strategies to the 21st century and are reaching a lot of people. And so if you're considering a merger, a strong church isn't going to say, well, we're just going to take you under our belt and let you keep doing ineffective ministry. We're not going to support that. But if you want to join with us, we will infuse our life-giving DNA into your location, or if it's a multi-site outcome, or you can join, or we can come. We're meeting a strong church plant that's meeting at a school of 1,000 people attending, or something, or 500 people attending, and they're looking for a building. And this church that's joining is looking for a pastor. Hey, you need a building. We need a pastor. Let's have that conversation. And so, if it becomes contentious or whatever in the process, then it's probably not the right timing or right at all. But when these come together, there's a real sense of we could really be better together. We need your ability, your DNA, and our, to re-energize our congregation, our location. You need a building, or for either as a multi-site or as your first site as a church planter. By the way, 20% of all church planters now are getting their facility by way of a merger. And I've worked with a lot of those over the years.
Let me
So
throw a
anyway.
curveball in this conversation. You've been talking about a weaker church, going with a stronger church, basically. What if you got two weak churches that want to merge? I mean, really, right? I mean, it's got to be possible, right? I mean, both churches aren't doing very well and they know each other. Like, maybe we should get together.
I recommend not doing that. By the way, when we did the survey, when my co-author Warren Bird, who at the time was the vice president with Leadership Network, when he approached me back in 2007 or 8 about, are you seeing a lot of mergers in your multi-site consulting? And I said, yes, we are. I am. And he said, well, so are we at Leadership Network. We ought to write a book about it. That's how this book came about. So in that process, that our first edition was came out in 2011, we did a survey of, did a Barna survey across the country of why, why would for churches who have done mergers. But in our research, we also did realize that there were no books written about church mergers, first of all. There were articles in some magazines or chapters in some books. But the conclusion from all that research was mergers don't work, that they have a bad image, because it typically was the mergers of the past before, and the multi-site movement really was the catalyst for a new kind of merger. Talk about that in a minute. But the mergers of the past before, in the last century, pre-1990s, where they were typically one larger church absorbing a smaller church, and 5 years later, those the church was the same size as the original larger one, and they usually sold off the building of the struggling church. So a 1 + 1 = 1 basically was the math, and those were the good stories. The worst case stories was one struggling church joining with another struggling church with the hope to survive at the expense of the other, unintentionally, but like two men drowning in an ocean, and they're holding on to each other. It's just natural, to try to survive and at the expense of the other. So 1 + 1 = 0. 5 years later, they were gone. Both gone. Both churches. So that we call those ICU mergers, which we don't recommend, where two struggling churches come together with the hope to survive. They need to be, one is strong and one is solid, strong, healthy. The other can be so strong as well, but just needing a pastor or whatever. Or struggling. So one needs to lead, one needs to follow, or one needs to lead, one needs to join.
I would think the
Go ahead.
tendency with, I mean, if I'm in a struggling church, I would think that everyone's going to be looking inward and how do I rectify this situation? How am I going to make mortgage? How am I going to pay these guys? What are we going to do? And as a leadership team, it would probably not natural for me to think about a merger. Is that the case, or have you found that, or are people just not, are churches dying, not realizing that there was a viable lifeline out there? Or how do you get churches thinking about this?
It's a great question, Steve. You mean church leaders don't wake up every day thinking about, hey, maybe one day we'll get to merge with another church. Nobody's thinking like that at all. And when we did our initial book back in, released in 2011, there was a lot of skepticism about church mergers, rightfully so. But what we were seeing is that the multi-site movement was a catalyst to that, where churches could join with a church that was growing and multi-siting, and not lose their building, and to re-energize what maybe at one time was a very flourishing congregation. We could have children in our classrooms. I was in a church yesterday, this week, in Minneapolis, looking at a church that wants to multi-site in a declining church. There's about a 50 people left in a church that has a nice chapel and all that, and they have some classrooms. This building was built in the 1980s. And they had some children's classrooms, but there's no children in that church.
Wow.
And so, so they're looking at this. We have a church and we have facilities that we have no children. So the idea of having our church full again with life, is part of the appeal. I forget what the question was. I got sidetracked on
Well,
that.
let me
You
jump
were
in
asking
here.
me.
We're starting to run out of time here. And the interview is going really well, Jim. We were talking earlier about if it doesn't go well, we'll just cut you off.
We'll cut you short.
Let me just roll the tape back a little bit and just say, let's say people go through the 25 questions and two churches go through it and it, yeah, this looks good. We feel like this is the Lord and all this. Tell me what the benefits are and the cons, the pros and the cons. I mean, even if things look really good and you're on the same page. There's got to be a few cons, right, to emerging.
Well, I would say, first of all, what are the benefits? We've already talked about it. Could we have new life? Could we be rebirth? Could we have a revitalization? Could we expand ourselves? To the strong churches, a lot of that wins are very obvious. We can get a facility, we can fill it with people that live in that community already. That's the multi-site model. But struggling churches can be reborn or renewed. Strong churches can reach more people. The witness of the body of Christ, where two churches come together, is such a better testimony than two churches, church splitting apart. And so I've actually had churches that had broken apart, church split years ago, and then they come back together. What a testimony to the community. But also local communities can be better served by the synergy of churches coming together and their renewed vibrant ministry. But and then most important line in terms from a kingdom of God point of view, we're seeing kingdom expansion, kingdom gain. We're bringing the presence of Jesus or renewing that in a community. So those are the obvious benefits. We can use this facility that our predecessors spent their invested their blood, sweat, and tears into. That could be full of people again, all that sort of thing. But what are the drawbacks for a merger? Well, first of all, for the joining church, for sure, they're giving up control. They're giving up their name. Typically, the church name is going to become under another name. They're having to sacrifice their sacred cows that often becomes an impediment now for their ministry today. And typically in every merger, there is a legal dissolution or dissolving of one of the entities, usually the joining church. And so that all goes away. And that can be a really big emotional, hard thing to give up, all those things. And they may lose their staff and all that sort of stuff. Now, most churches t try to offer a job or a nice severance to staff who don't stay. But what do they get in return? They get life. They get life. They get a potential for a full children's space, all that sort of stuff. So those are the pros and cons. Now, there are many that would rather die than change, and most of those will die because we no longer have a culture in America that supports church attendance. For 200 years, there was a value that said attending church is something that you should do. Not that everybody did, but it was that value. That is faded and is fading dramatically. So you can't depend on culture for your church to be attended. You got to be doing something more than just depending on culture. You got to be reaching people, serving people, loving people, and there are churches doing that. So you're,
Do you see cross-denominational mergers?
yes, we do.
Okay. And I would think that would
There
be
have been.
challenging as well, right?
Yes, it can be. But there are those, across the board. Just about every scenario, obviously within your own network or denomination, those are easier. But there are non-denominational churches that can have a lot of different denominational churches join with them. A lot has to do with just how much affinity they have or not, if they're willing to give up space or whatever, or give up traditions and things. Those are all the issues that two churches have to work through.
We are actually out of time, but for real. But I do want to. How can people get a hold of you, Jim? We're talking with Jim Tomberlin here, the multi-site guy. How do people get a hold of you if they have questions?
Well, you can go to I have a LinkedIn account, Jim Tomberlin, or just Jim at Multi-Site Solutions. .com is my other email address.
Okay.
Just
Yeah.
type in, just go to the go to Google, type in Jim Tomberlin, you'll find my name.
All right, good. If you type in Steve Lacy, you'll get some musician or something. And I think I don't know
Yes,
who you get if you
I'm
type maybe
famous.
not.
Two multiple musicians with the same name and the same spelling.
Yeah. All right. So Jim Tomlin's been our guest today. So Jim, we really do appreciate spending time with you today. I'm sorry it's been like 13 years or whatever. Sorry about
Hey, once a decade is about all that anybody can handle of me,
that.
right? So,
Well, with me, with us, probably. Folks, don't forget to sign up for our webinar. Webinar.streamingchurch.tv is the place to go. Webinar.streamingchurch.tv. I've given away a, well, the Stream Dudes who we're working with are giving away a Bird Dog camera worth about $1,000. That's not too bad. And it's a webinar about equipment, streaming equipment. So what drives your stream? Master your church's streaming setup. So that's happening October 22nd. So sign up for that, baby. And don't forget, I don't always mention this, but we have a new product up called Daily Dive 365. And you can just read all about it. Speaking of Google, just dailydive365.com.
Byline or the sub tag is automated devotions in your pastor's voice for your
That's right.
congregation
Yeah,
at
absolutely. Daily
virtually
devotional.
no
So,
no cost of time to you or your staff.
yeah, it's a pretty cool little thing that we've developed. And so check it out, dailydive365.com. All right, Jim, again, it's just our pleasure to talk with you.
Great to be with you guys. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you very much. And thank you, Steve. And most of all, thank you, folks, for spending a little bit of time with us today on the Church Solutions podcast. Please subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcast, and give us a rating if you can. And you can always give us feedback. Support@streamingchurch.tv is one way you can get a hold of us. My name is Phil Thompson. Please take care of yourselves and each other, and we'll catch you again on another episode of the Church Solutions podcast.